time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.
Well, I've been puzzled by this clue all week. Gordon Goldsborough is here to set my mind at ease. It's time for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Nadja, and I will do just that.
Okay, so what clue did you give us last week?
I said we were going to discuss three old buildings around Manitoba that each contain a good luck symbol that today has a very bad reputation. So here, let me just draw that symbol for you to see if you recognize it.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I don't even know if bad reputation does that justice. What are we talking about?
It is a swastika. And of course, we associate it today with the Nazis. But, you know, it has origins going back over 3,000 years, and it's been used by many cultures around the world. The Greeks, the Romans both used the swastika. You know, it appears on Chinese coins dating to 315 BC. It's been used on jewelry made by indigenous people of what is now the southwestern United States. And it's been a longtime symbol of divinity and spirituality in East Indian culture. And essentially, its meaning was good luck.
And yet has such a different connotation now. How did that happen? Well, when did it become a symbol of hate?
The Nazis, of course, came to power in Germany in the 1930s, and they co-opted the swastika to connect themselves to the ancient Aryans. And essentially, I think what it was was a statement of their long history, you know, to sort of bolster themselves as being legitimate. Incidentally, I should say that the Nazis did not call it a swastika. In German, it was called a Hakenkreuz, not a swastika. And they actually did modify it a little bit, too. They turned the swastika 45 degrees and they enclosed it in a circle. So you can usually tell the German swastika from the original one because of the angle in which it's shown. Well, after the war, the Allies and the new German government worked to denazify all aspects of German society, and this included making the swastika illegal under German criminal code. You cannot use the swastika in Germany today. Well, inevitably, few people today, I think, would ever consider putting a swastika on a newly constructed building. But buildings that were constructed before the Nazi regime, well, that's a different matter. You know, they use the swastika as a sign of good luck, of peace and prosperity. You know, and so it's possible that many buildings still around today have the swastika because of that original connotation.
So we have these buildings in Manitoba?
We do. I know about three of them, and I suspect there are more, and maybe some of our listeners can point me to a few more of these buildings.
Okay, so let's go through them. Which one is the first one?
First one I'll talk about is Taché Hall. Of course, this is a large building at the University of Manitoba, and for most of its history, it has been used as a student residence. Built between 1911 and 1912, it was used initially by what was called the Manitoba Agricultural College, and there were actually rows of swastikas made out of black and white tiles on the floors of the entrances. So as you went into the residence, one of the first things you saw were all these swastikas. Taché Hall was integrated into the U of M in 1924. And in fact, during the Second World War, the Canadian Army commandeered the building for use as barracks for its soldiers. And I always wonder, what did those soldiers think when they walked through the lobby and they saw all these German symbols, you know, underfoot? Of course, they weren't originally intended as German symbols. After the war, the Taché Hall returned to its former residential use. It was renovated in 1979, and at that time, they covered the swastikas with carpeting. Well, then in 2011, the building stopped being used as a residence, and they began to turn it into space for the music and art faculties of the university. And at that point, the swastikas were removed and were replaced with just plain white tiles. And I think it was simply because so many people thought they were German symbols, but they weren't. They were from an earlier time.
And there's two more buildings with this. What's the second one?
Well, the Pointe-du-Bois Generating Station, the oldest operating hydroelectric station in Manitoba, has them as well. The building was built between 1909, the powerhouse, that is, built between 1909 and 1911, and its original configuration included electrical generators that were manufactured by a Swedish company. This company was known by the acronym ASEA, which stood for four Swedish words that translate as General Swedish Electrical Company. Its corporate logo of this ASEA that had been used since it was first founded in the 1880s, right up till 1933, was the swastika. And again, it was intended as a symbol of peace and prosperity. But of course, in 1933, by that time, the Nazis were already showing their colors. The Swedish company decided, we don't want in any way be affiliated with those guys. So they abandoned the logo as their corporate logo. But because these generators were installed back much earlier, you'll see rows of generators. And on each one, there's a plaque that has the letters ASEA. Then there's some specifications of the generator and a big swastika next to it. And you think, did the Nazis build the generating station? Well, again, no. It preceded the Nazis by quite a long time. Now, few people can see those swastikas because the building is not generally open to the public, except for special tours.
And finally, the third building.
Yeah, this one I think is the most interesting of the three. The previous two precede the Nazis, so I don't think there's anything necessarily to do with Nazism. But this one, I'm not so sure. Now, in the interest of preserving the privacy of the owner of this building and the sensitivity, I think, of Nazi symbols, I'm only going to describe it without revealing its location. So, longtime listeners of this series know I love old grain elevators. And most of them are made with what's called crib-style construction. And basically, that means you take boards on the flat and you lay them one on top of the other and nail them together. And that's a really strong method of construction they would build the elevators from. Well, when the grain elevator ran out of space, the companies that owned them might build something called a balloon annex. And this would give them extra space that they could build quickly and cheaply. But instead of using crib-style construction, they used frame construction, which is what we use in our homes. Basically, it's vertical studs covered in boards. And frame construction is not nearly as strong as crib construction. So when you put grain in them, sometimes it would cause the walls to kind of bulge out. And I think that's why they called it a balloon annex. Well, anyway, a few months ago, I went inside the balloon annex that was attached to an old, now abandoned grain elevator somewhere here in Manitoba, and nailed to one of the wooden posts supporting the annex's roof were small pieces of metal held there with little nails. And one was a swastika. And I'm fairly sure it was intended as a symbol of Nazi Germany, or at the very least, of the German ethnicity of whomever put it there.
So what makes you think that?
Well, the grain elevator to which the annex is attached was built in 1928. I was able to confirm that for sure. So I know, therefore, that the elevator and the annex are from around the time of the Nazis. The annex was actually probably built later. They wouldn't need it until they've actually filled the elevator and they've realized that maybe the elevator is too small. So it's quite conceivable the annex dates from the 1930s, which of course is the period of the Nazis. So unlike Taché Hall and Pointe du Bois, this swastika, I think, does coincide with the Nazi period. The metal itself appears quite old, so I'm pretty sure it wasn't put there years later. I think it was put there at the time the annex was built, and it's in a place that you would normally never see it. It's inside the annex, so that spot would be normally covered over with grain, and people don't typically go inside annexes. So my inclination is that it was probably not meant as a public declaration. It was maybe somewhat more like, you know, a painter who has just made a painting, signs their name on the bottom of it. Maybe this was the symbol of the builder who built it.
Are there other clues connecting it to Germany?
Well, yeah, actually, below the swastika is another symbol made of metal fastened to this wooden post by nails, an iron cross. And this is another symbol associated with the German military, but its roots go back further than the swastika as a connection to the German military. German and Prussian soldiers received the Iron Cross decoration as far back as the Napoleonic Wars of the early 1800s. But again, two symbols close to each other, both indicating German military power. You know, I have to think that sort of makes it a German symbol.
Do we know who put the swastika and Iron Cross inside the annex?
I do not, but there are a few clues. So I suspect the two symbols were put there by whomever built the annex. The swastika is not exactly like the Nazi version because it is not turned 45 degrees like the Nazi version. It's straight like the original good luck version. Another clue, though, is that the person who put them there might have had the initials FZ. And the reason is that between the Iron Cross and the swastika are these two letters, FZ, again, made of metal, nailed to the wood. Nearby, on another wooden beam, are more of these little metal letters, the letters JM. So I'm thinking that perhaps there were two builders, one with initials FZ, one with the other initials JM, and they were somehow connected to the swastika and the Iron Cross. You know, whether or not they were meant to convey sympathy for the Nazi cause, you know, inevitably, the fact that they're inside an abandoned balloon annex is, I think, an interesting reminder of the sort of multicultural roots of Manitoba.
So fascinating, Gordon. Thank you for this.
You're welcome, Nadja.
Bit of a mystery with that third building.
Yeah.
Tell us about next week's clue.
Well, faithful listeners will know that in this series, we occasionally talk about buildings in limbo. You know, buildings that await a renewed life. Next week, we're going to talk about a Brandon building that is in a different category. Not buildings in limbo, buildings on death row.
Oh my gosh.
Meaning at imminent risk of demolition.
Oh, so dramatic, Gordon. Thank you for this.
We'll see you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many